take your Bibles tonight. I want you to turn to Malachi chapter 3. We've been talking about the subject of separation, and tonight we're going to talk about separation and our money. Separation and our money. So if you'll turn to Malachi chapter 3, we're going to look at a good handful of verses this evening. Malachi chapter 3 is where we're going to start. Malachi chapter 3, I want you to find verse number 7. Once you find Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, stand with me if you would, please. Malachi chapter 3, verse number 7. Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, and I'm going to read from verse 7 all the way through verse 11, and then we'll pray and get started. The Bible says this, "Even from the days of your fathers you are going away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." But ye said, "Wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me." But ye say, "Wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." And let's pray. Father, bless the lesson, please. Help me, Lord, to deliver it properly, and help all of us to receive it properly. Holy Spirit of God, speak to our hearts. I pray that no one would shut out a scriptural teaching that is so obvious, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. I'm going to read another passage of Scripture to you. You don't have to turn to it. If you want, you may, but it's found in James chapter 1. I'm going to read verse number 17, where the Bible says this, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." Now there, the Bible tells us that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from God. And I want you to know that our money, the money that we have, I believe that it all comes from God. I realize you labor and I labor, and we would say we earn it, but I think it's a gift from God. You say, "Well, why would you say that if we work?" Well, you probably breathed somebody's air to have the life that it took to earn that money. You probably ate some food that came off of somebody's earth to have the strength to make that money. Matter of fact, you have a body that was given to you by God, and you eat food that was given to you by God, and you breathe air that was given to you by God. All the energy that you have, everything about you, God did all that. And so, I say that if we have money, whether we labor or not, it is God given. It's a gift from God. And He didn't give us our money to spend it sinfully. I think our spending, we should be careful not to spend money on things that would be wrong or sinful. Actually, even all the money that we have, it all belongs to God. And we are what the Bible would refer to as stewards. In other words, He gives it to us, and it's almost like He loans it to us, and He allows us to use it. And I think it would be smart that if God is the one that gave it to us, that we would be smart if we would use it the right way. I don't think, you may not believe it, you may not believe that your money is actually God's money, but I believe the Bible very clearly teaches it belongs to God. Which then, if that's scriptural, and it is, I should not spend God's money on things that God wouldn't want His money spent on. And that's very simple logic, but that would clear a lot of things up for a lot of people. Our money is not really our money. It's God's money. So when I spend what I have, I'm spending God's money. Now, on what should I spend it? Well, I would think that I'd want to spend it on the type things that would be pleasing to God. Now, We're going to look at Malachi chapter 3. If you've got your finger in that verse, you can look at it again, Malachi chapter 3. And if not, I'm going to refer to some verses. And I'm going to show you some things, and then I'll get into some just line upon line, precept upon precept teaching here in a second. But in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 7, we were reading about the tithe and the offering. Let me read a few of these verses to you again, and I'll make a little explanation as we go along. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, it says, "Even from the days of your fathers ye are gone away from mine ordinances, and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts." But you said, "Wherein shall we return?" Now, it's obvious that the Scripture says here, God is speaking through the Scripture and saying, somebody has gotten away from God. So it said, you've left me and you need to return to me. So we call it backsliding. You can call it whatever you want, but somebody has wandered away from God, according to Malachi chapter 3, verse number 7. Then in verse number 8, the question is asked, where, in what area should we return? So God said, you've left me. And they said, well, in what area should we return? Evidently, in one of the areas that they had left God was in their finances. And the question is asked, will a man rob God? Yet, ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? And he makes it real clear. He says, in tithes and in offerings. So, someone wandered away from God, and God said, you need to come back to me. And they said, well, in what area should we come back to you? And he said, you've robbed me. In other words, he's saying, you need to come back to me in regard to financial practices and the way you handle your money. And they said, well, how have we robbed you? He said, by not giving tithes and not giving your offerings. Then in verse number 9, it says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me. Now, let me explain that. And I don't think I have to, but just in case you're mentally trying to avoid the issue, let me help you. If you've been taught to give a tithe and you've been taught to give an offering, and when you get backslidden and you don't do that, God said, I can put a curse on your finances. Now, if you want, you can get up at midnight and read that verse and this passage about 20 times to yourself out loud and see if you can figure out a way to make it mean something other than that, but you're going to have a real hard time getting it done. I'll tell you what you have to do. You'll probably just have to change the words around and replace it with some of your own words. That's what they've done today. You all do know that, right? They would change the Bible, so they just take the words out that they don't like. But it says here, you're cursed with a curse. Now, my whole lesson tonight is not about the tithe, and it's not about the offering. This is just where I'm starting. But let me tell you something. If you don't tithe and you don't give offering, God said, you're stealing from me, you've robbed me, and you will have a curse on your finances. Have you noticed the curse? Those of you that don't tithe, are you noticing the curse? Just think through it. You say, just a coincidence. No, it wasn't a coincidence. Now, he goes on to say in verse number 10, he says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. Well, where's God's house? The church house, okay. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, I want you to understand, here God refers to, he talks about bringing the money and giving your tithe and giving your offering. And so he tells us, he said, now, I think in verse number 10, when he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Let me explain a little piece of what the word all means. The word all here means all in the Hebrew. If you're not a Bible scholar, I want to get things where you can handle it. Well, all means your current tithe, by the way, your past. This is all about they were backslidden and not giving like they were supposed to give. And he said, you need to bring it all. In other words, you ought to give what you're supposed to give today, and then you were supposed to give a tithe last week, and you didn't bring it all. He said, and then he said, well, I'm gonna bless you like I'm gonna bless your gizzard like it ain't ever been blessed before. That's what he promises. Now, I want to show you verse 11, and don't worry, if you're sweating or you're already mad, I'm going to get off this here in just a second. But in verse number 11, he says this, he said, because he said, you're backslidden, you're not giving a tithe, you're not giving an offering. God said, you're a robber, you're to separate that money and you're to bring it to my house. He said, and you need to get it and bring it, and you need to bring it all, and then I'm going to bless you in a way that you can't imagine. And right now you've got a curse on you because you don't give like you're supposed to give. And you can call coincidence and the occurrences of life all you want, but God said, I'm in charge of money. I know what I'm doing about it. Then he says in verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruit of the ground. Who's the devourer? I don't know exactly who the devourer is, but I can tell you this. What God is saying is, if you'll give like you're supposed to give, and you'll tithe and give offerings like you're supposed to give them, God said, I can keep the devourer or destruction from coming to your money, to your appliances, to your car, to your whatever. He's saying, I can make your things last longer. Do you know what the very best insurance in the world is? It's tithing insurance. Tithing insurance. I'm insured by my tithe and offering. Now, I have other insurance. State Farm or Geico. Is that the one with the little lizard? Okay. But, man, there's all sorts of insurances out there. But I can tell you the best insurance on the face of this earth is tithing insurance and offering insurance. Now, I got to tell you this. The whole sermon, though, it's not about the tithe and the offering, though it's where you need to start. We're going to talk about separation and our money. Here's what I've discovered, though. In a minute, I'm going to talk to us about what the Bible teaches about us spending our money wrong. And there's ways we ought to separate with our money. There's certain things we just shouldn't spend our money on. It's a part of separation. But let me tell you this, first of all. Usually, the Christians who wrongly spend their money and the ones that spend their money worst are usually the non-tithers anyway. And let me tell you this also, what they do, they not only spend what they would call their money on wrong things, they're spending their tithe on wrong things, which means they're spending God's money on those wrong things. And so, I think all our money belongs to God. I think that the tithe is an extra special percentage of God's money that He wants you to give back. And I think He tells us that if you don't do that, you're going to have a curse on your finances. And this isn't Brother Owens doing a hocus pocus trying to place a curse on you. I'm just teaching you the Bible. But God said, if you'll get that right, I'll bless you financially. I can rebuke the one that can destroy your finances and destroy your belongings so you don't lose anymore. But again, I'll tell you, I'm going to mention some things here in a moment that I think we ought to be careful in regard to spending our money on, because I think we ought to separate in these areas. But a lot of times, some of the harshest of these things, when people misspend their money, they're non-tithers anyway. Let me get started here. Now, the whole sermon is separation and our money. The first point is going to be a little repetitive of my introduction, but I'll make it go quickly, okay? Number one, we should separate God's tithe from our other money. We should separate God's tithe from our other money. If you were listening there, in Malachi chapter 3, verse number 10, it says, you ought to bring your tithe and offering to the storehouse. Now, there's a difference in the storehouse and your house. Your tithe is to leave your house and is to be separated from your house and is to be brought to God's house. That's separation. You're separating God's tithe, and tithe is one-tenth. And the tithe is not just a tenth of your net income, it's a tenth of your gross income and your benefits. That's all the increase that God has given you. And you are to, you're to separate that one tenth and you're to get it to what God called His house, His storehouse. Now remember, the tithe is the Lord's already. If you don't give the tithe, that's why God says to you, if you're taking the tithe, you're a thief, you're a robber. Now you do all understand that robbery's not blessed of God, right? If you go out and you rob a bank, that's against the law. You say, I would never. So there's some of you, you rob God's bank every week of your life. God said you're robbing Him when you don't give the tithe. He said, I can't afford to. You can't afford not to. You can't afford not to. If you keep the stolen tithe intermingled with your money, you're going to lose. It's going to mess you up real, real bad. And remember, God said there's a devourer. You say, what is the devourer? I think that's God's way of saying, if you don't tithe, I'm taking it by other means. You say, well, why would He do that? It's His. So the first point is we should separate God's tithe from our other funds. That means it's to be given. Number two, I think we should separate our money from false doctrine. We should separate our money from false doctrine. If you've got your Bible there and you're ready to use it real quick, turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'm going to use 15, 18 verses as we go through this real quickly. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I want you to find verse number 3. Point number 2 is we should separate our money from false doctrine. If I said 2 Timothy, I meant 1. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse number 3. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, I'm going to read it. The Bible says this, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Now, here God is telling us, did you notice there in verse number 5, He was talking about false doctrine, and He said, from such withdraw yourself. He's saying, you are to separate from false doctrine. Notice twice He talks about gain. Now, the average human being, when you start talking about gain, you're talking about your prosperity. And when most of you think of prosperity, you talk about what you have in your purse, what you have in your wallet, and your funds. But He makes it pretty clear here, we are to separate from false doctrines, withdraw ourselves. I think your money comes to you from God, and you should spend it on nothing that He disapproves of. You know, did you know He is the Word of God? He is the doctrine. False doctrine is the falsifying of what God is. He is the Word of God. And if it's a false doctrine, that means it is a false Christ, if you will. And He said, you're to separate from that. And that means you should separate your money from that. If you have your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 1 real quick. Galatians chapter 1. I'm going to read Galatians chapter 1, verse number 8. The Bible says, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now there's that word cursed again. I heard that word back in Malachi chapter 3. Now, I want to recommend something to all of us that we are cautious not to get ourselves involved in false doctrine. And I think all the money that is given to us by God, and the last thing God wants us to do is to be investing our money, which was given to us by God, into false doctrines. That means this, I don't think we ought to give money to a church that teaches false doctrine. I don't think we ought to give our money to ministries that teach false doctrines. I don't think we ought to give our money to charities that would be representing false doctrines. Now, I don't know that all charities necessarily have doctrines attached to them, but I'm just going to tell you, if it is charitable giving, but it is given to someplace that is teaching doctrines that are contrary to the purity of the Bible, you should not be given the money that God gave you, which is ultimately His, to someone that is teaching false truth. Because Jesus is the truth. You're actually giving money to something that opposes Jesus Christ. I don't think we ought to give our money to preachers that preach false doctrines. I don't think you ought to give your money to a religious website that promotes false doctrine. Why? We're to separate from false doctrine. We're to separate then our finances from being given to false doctrine. Now, it would be wise, you say, well, I just love their music. You better love their doctrine. They put on a wing ding of a music concert for you, and then you'll give your money to some television show. They don't teach salvation by grace through faith. They don't teach the security of the believer. They don't teach proper doctrine about the Holy Spirit. But you like their music. And your teenager's going to tell you that they're going to spend their money to go to a Motley Crue concert. Is Motley Crue still around? This is the first rock group that came to my mind. You say, well, that's bad. Well, hey, you shouldn't be giving your money to some place that teaches and promotes false doctrine. So, we should separate the tithe from our other money. We should separate our money from false doctrine. Number three, we should separate our money from immoralities. From immoralities. You got your Bible there. Turn to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs 5, and you'll have to turn very quickly because I'm in a hurry and I'm very excited about the other 27 points. When you laugh, it hurts me. Proverbs chapter 5, verse number 3, the Bible says this, "For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." You say, what is the strange woman? This describes all women. They're all a bit strange to me. Okay. In Proverbs chapter 5, we're about to be taught, and there's a challenge that is being given out about immorality. So it says in Proverbs 5, verse 3, "For the lips of the strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil." Now look at verse number 8. The Bible says this. It says, "Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house." Whatever's going on here, God's saying, get out of there. Run. Get away. It actually talks about she's leading you into hell. Now, it's very obvious God is saying there's an immorality that is on the threshold of happening. Now, I want you to look at verse number 10. It says, "Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger." Now, this whole setting here is God is saying the strange woman, this is a woman that would have a physical, sexual relationship against the Bible, and God is warning, run from that. Run from that. He said, and it says, "Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house." This doesn't just say, don't go in her house. Says, don't even go near the door of her house. God's afraid somebody's going to commit immorality. And then what did he say the result of that immorality would be? If you look at verse number 10, it says, "Lest stranger be filled with thy wealth." God, and we could go to scripture after scripture after scripture, and I could show you God is saying to you, you shouldn't spend your money on the immoralities of life. In other words, your money, God's money, should never be spent in an adulterous situation. You shouldn't be taking God's money and spending on someone you're committing adultery with. That's a wrong investment of God's money. Boy, it's really quiet in here. Money, God's money, should not be spent on situations of fornication. God is saying, separate yourself from sexual misconduct And then that means we're not supposed to spend our money on those things. Young people, you shouldn't be spending your money in an effort to fornicate with the opposite sex. So I make myself clear. A man marries a woman, and that man is to be intimate with his wife, and the wife is to be intimate with the man, and that's the only one. Nobody else. Young people, you're not to have a physical relationship with somebody unless you're married to them. If you do, it's fornication. And God said, you should never be spending my money that I gave you on an adulterous situation, and you should never be spending my money which I gave you to fornicate, or in a fornicating relationship. That means you obviously, and I'm just going to say it in case you don't know it, you shouldn't be spending money on prostitutes. It's sin. It's wrong. You shouldn't be making, I don't know what they call them, but I think you can make telephone calls and have people talk dirty to you. And it's a sexual conversation that you can have on the telephone. You shouldn't be spending God's money on that. You say, well, I'll spend my own. I'm sorry. It all belongs to God. It all belongs to God. So I think we're to separate our money for immoralities. I wish I had time to teach everything I'd like to say about this. Immorality will place a curse on your finances. It will. It will. I did a Bible study one time and I was amazed at what I learned. You get out there, carouse around, do your own thing. You will lose money. You'll lose money. It's a for sure thing. Okay, let's go on. Number four. We should separate our money from nudity. From nudity. If you've got your Bible, you heard me teach a little on this a few weeks ago. Let me touch on it real quickly. Isaiah chapter 47. Isaiah chapter 47, turn fast. Isaiah chapter 47. Point number four is we should separate our money from nudity. Isaiah chapter 47, we're going to read verse 2 and 3. We talked about nakedness and how we're to separate, and now we're going to apply it to our finances. Isaiah 47, verse number 2, it says, take the millstone, grind meal, uncover the locks, make bare the leg, uncover the thigh, pass over the rivers, thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen, I will take vengeance, I will not meet thee as a man. Now here, God is telling us about nakedness. And we're not to uncover our nakedness, and that's the uncovering of the thigh, according to that verse right there. But let me tell you, when God tells you and I to separate from something, He doesn't want us to turn around and then spend our money or contribute to that something. It just makes sense. If God said to you, you're not to murder, you say, well, I won't murder, but I'll pay someone to murder, that's still wrong. You say, well, I didn't touch anybody. Yeah, but you used your money wrong. You say, well, that makes sense. Well, it makes sense in every category of life if God tells you to stay away from something. And then you invest, you take your money with that something. God is still seeing the connection. That means this. We should separate our money from nudity. That means your money, God's money, should not be spent on pornography. It shouldn't be spent on pornography in DVD form. It should not be spent on pornography in book form. It should not be spent on pornography in electronic form. In other words, when you're paying for your telephone or you're paying for your internet, and you're paying money and then you get pornography through that internet, even though you did not receive something physically tangible that you could put your hands on, you were spending the money that God gave you to have that internet service to get that pornography. You're spending God's money on nudity. And God said, I'm not going to bless you for that. Our money should not be spent at a strip club, Hooters restaurant, clothes that are revealing and revealing one's nudity to the public. And so you all know, to every woman in here, your body is to be viewed by your husband and him only. And the same for the man. If you don't have a husband or wife, you shouldn't be showing off the private parts of your body. It's nudity. That means immodest swimsuits should not be purchased because you're spending money to wear something that reveals your nudity. It's a misuse of the money that God gave you. Okay, we'll move on. Number five, and let me tell you so you'll know, there are 11 points. Number five, we should separate our money from stinginess. From stinginess. This one's a little easier. Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 24. Proverbs 11, verse number 24, the Bible says this. It says, there is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. And this is talking about someone that they're just stingy with their money. And I think God teaches that you and I, as Christians, we should separate in attitude from this thing of being stingy. Christians are supposed to be generous. Now, notice there, it said that if we are stingy, if we withhold when we could have been good to someone and we just didn't want to do it because we are stingy, he said it will tend to cause you poverty. Now, if you all remember, when we started in Malachi chapter 3, the basic premise of finances is when you don't handle your finances the way God wants them handled, there will be a loss that you will suffer. He called it a curse. Seems like a harsh word to me, but it is God's word. And you'll see the word curse over and over and over again where finances are mishandled. And again, you may want to write off your loss in life as a coincidence, but if you're not tithing like you're supposed to tithe and you can't get ahead and you can't figure out where in the world does all the money go, it may be the devourer is sucking it down as fast as he can get his hands on it just to keep his commitment to obeying the scripture, and God promised you would lose. Now here the Bible's saying if we're stingy, then God tells us that could tend to cause you to be poverty stricken. You say, that doesn't make sense. How is it that if I give, then I won't have poverty? God's ways are not your ways. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. The way up with God is down. You say, what does that mean? You want to go up in life, you need to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and then He will lift you up. God's economy is totally different than man's. God's wisdom is not man's wisdom. And God is saying here that we need to separate from stinginess. Christians are to be generous. They're to be givers. We give our tithes. We give our offering. We give more. Sometimes we give sacrificially. You ever heard someone say, you give until it hurts? I think the size of the gift is not what God looks at. God looks at what you have left. That's what determines sacrifice. Helping others has always been the Bible way. Now, I think you and I are to separate from stinginess in our financial attitude. Look, if the economy began to collapse and you said, you know, well, I'll tell you one thing I'm going to do. I won't tithe and I won't give my offering. That'll carry me through an economy crunch. That'll destroy you during an economy crunch. Now, and just in case you wonder, you say, well, Pastor, does our church need money right now? No, we're fine. I don't teach what I teach to get something for the church. I teach what I teach to help you. I've been teaching this for years and years and years because it's in the Bible. No, well, I'm not trying to get the offerings up at the church. I'm trying to help you to understand there is an expectation placed upon us by God in regard to separation and our money. Our money. And money's a big deal to people. A big deal to people. So, I said number five, we should separate our money from stinginess. Number six, we should separate our money from booze or liquor. Booze or liquor. Well, I don't like that. That's okay. You don't have to like it. I just have to teach it. Proverbs chapter 21, verse number 17. We should separate the spending of our money from booze or liquor. Proverbs 21, verse number 17, the Bible says this. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Now God is again telling us you're not going to be rich and you're going to be a poor man when you buy liquor. So you're spending your money on something that God said in Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 1, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Now, is it smart for you to spend your money on something that God said is not wise? Again, look it up at midnight tonight. Read it. Read it frontwards, backwards. Try to figure out a way to twist it. But if God said it wasn't wise, I can't imagine God saying, it's not wise for you to drink it, but it's wise for you to buy it. Spend your money on it. It's not wise. It's just not wise. Look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse number 21. Proverbs 23, verse number 21. And the Bible says this. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty. So what's God saying? The misuse of your money for drunkenness is going to cost you. You say, it says come to poverty. Did you know that, first of all, it's a waste of your money? Secondly, when you get picked up for drunk driving, that's going to cost you, and so will the lawyer, and so will the increased premiums on your insurance, and so will it if you get picked up a couple times and they take your license away from you and then you lose your job. There are people in here, you're still suffering because you spent God's money on liquor, still costing you, isn't it? There are people in here, you've had accidents and it's cost you all sorts of money because of the liquor. Let me tell you something. If you don't tithe, but you go out and spend your money on liquor, are you spending God's money to buy your liquor? I don't think you ought to give liquor as gifts at Christmas, because I don't think you're supposed to spend your money on liquor. Okay. I'll tell you, there are people that come to our church that need help. I want to help them. People come in and say, I'm hungry. Can you feed me? I never hand someone I don't know from Adam a bunch of cash to go buy food with. You say, why? They'll go buy cigarettes, or they'll go buy liquor, or they'll go buy drugs. You say, what do? I'll take them to McDonald's and buy them a Big Mac. I couldn't tell you how many times I've tried to help people, give them food, and they said, I don't want that. They gave the impression they needed money for food, and when I went to get food, they didn't want it. You know why? They were going to spend it on something else, weren't they? And it wasn't socks. I'm even careful. You know, my bus captains, we all talk about this sort of thing. We're careful even giving a lot of gift cards out to gifts to people, even as prizes and things during programs, because if you're not careful, you give it to somebody, they'll turn around and go use the money that you gave them to buy liquor. Okay, we're going to move on. Remember, there's only 11 points. Number 7. We should separate our money from wickedness. Wickedness. Take your Bible and turn to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter 10. And I want you to find verse number 3. Proverbs chapter 10, verse number 3. The Bible says this. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. Now, understand our substance, that's where we use money to buy our substance. Our substance is our belongings, it's our finances. But here it's talking about the wicked and the loss of our substance, if you will. Wickedness comes in many forms. It is, and you say, what is wickedness? Well, it's a mental and a physical disregard for righteousness. It's where we mentally, we look into doing wrong, or we do wrong. Wickedness, many times in the Bible, is associated with witchcraft and demonology. But I think God is telling us, with our money, we should separate from spending it with or on wicked people, with or on wicked entertainment, with or on wicked music or clothes or behaviors. I have to tell you, I think if you go out and you buy things that are associated with witchcraft and demonology with God's money, you will end up in a mess financially. Because God gave you that money, and for you to spend that money on witchcraft and demonology, I don't think God's for that. And some of you ought to think through that a little bit. And I'm talking now about Harry Potty. Let's go on. Number 8. We should separate our money from unjust financial practices. Unjust financial practices. If you have your Bible there, turn to Proverbs chapter 28. I want you to look at verse number 8. Proverbs chapter 28, verse number 8. The Bible says this, he that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it in for him that will pity the poor. I'm not going to do a big, long Bible study on it, but I am going to tell you this. The Bible teaches that we should be careful not to get involved in unjust financial practices. What is that? That's cheating people. That's being unfair with interest rates and expectations on people. I would be careful having your money attached to people who cheat people, taking advantage of people financially. Earning money is okay, but hurting people to do so is not scripturally acceptable. We're not to make money and destroy someone in the process. That's not what God wants us to do. So if you look, he's talking about unjust jewelry or unjust interest rates. He's just saying, Christian, don't get your money involved in unfair financial practices. So we should separate from it. Let's go on. Number 9. We should separate our money from evil things. Evil things. Go to Isaiah chapter 1, if you will. Isaiah chapter 1, I want you to find verse number 16. Isaiah chapter 1, verse number 16. Isaiah 1:16, the Bible says this, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil out of your doings from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Now, I think it is common sense, I think it is scriptural sense that you and I, if we are told to stay away from evil, do not practice evil, then it would make sense that we should not spend our money or invest our money or find our money connected to evil. That makes sense to me. Now, I want you to look, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 16 warns you and I to get away from evil. Now, if you look at verse number 22 of Isaiah 1, you're going to see the outcome of you being attached to evil. It says, thy silver is become dross. What does that mean? Well, you understand, silver is a value. Dross is the waste. It's the trash. And God is saying, if you stay attached to evil, and he brings up your silver here, he brings up your money. Just a few verses later, he's basically saying, if you're letting your money be attached or invested in something that is evil, he said, your money, your silver, will become dross. It'll become worthless. It'll become trash. It'll be wasted, if you will. Now, let me explain. You say, well, what is evil? There are a lot of things. Evil and sin are attached and they're a lot alike. But evil is really the act of destroying another person or influencing others to help you to destroy someone. To me, maybe one of the best ways of talking about evil is character assassination. Someone's out to destroy another and then they want to pull others into destroying that person, which means this. I don't think you ought to have your money involved in that kind of behavior. I would not purchase a so-called Christian periodical that was just out to destroy other good people. Number one, I wouldn't read it, wouldn't want anything to do with it, but I dead sure wouldn't spend my money on it. I would not give offerings to preachers that all they want to do is cut everybody's throat. I wouldn't give money to churches or ministries that it is their quest to find and destroy other Christians. Look, if there's a Christian out there that misbehaves, I'm just going to separate, but I'm not going to spend my life trying to destroy them. And God is saying you want to be careful having your finances involved in things that are evil. And evil is a part of sin, and sin's a part of evil, but evil is a quest for the destruction of another. And it actually pulls other people into it. So I'm not going to get involved financially in the destruction of other people. It's not my goal. Okay, two more points. Number 10, we should separate our money from illegal drugs or the drug culture. Illegal drugs or the drug culture. Take your Bible and turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. When you get to Galatians chapter 5, I want you to look at verse number 20. Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. Lots of verses that I could read on this. We'll use this one. Galatians 5:20, it says, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strifes, seditions, heresies. And he tells us that we are to separate from these things. This is a list of things that God said, stay away from these things. Now, notice the second word in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. It is the word witchcraft. The word witchcraft, actually, if you used a dictionary to look up the word witchcraft in the Greek language, it is the word pharmakia. Now, if you listen to that word pharmakia, it almost sounds like our word pharmacy. It is where we get our word pharmacy. This is talking about the misuse of drugs. It's enchantment by drugs. People that would get into witchcraft would get high, and they would get themselves messed up as they see visions and all sorts of things. But the word pharmacy here, and hey, I don't think there's anything wrong with taking medicines that are taken right and they're controlled. But I think God here, He's talking about the misuse of drugs. It has to do with, okay, I'll give you opinion. And if preachers don't start throwing a fit about this, we're going to have a mess in our country. I don't care if they legalize marijuana in America. It's still wrong. I have people actually saying to me, it's made legal. It's okay now, right? No, never was, never will be. You say, but the United States government said it was okay. They said abortion's okay too.
Right?
Right? Didn't they?
Yes, sir.
Didn't they say weird marriage was okay too? Is it? Just because a group of men put a stamp of approval on something doesn't make it right in God's book. And there are people in here, you justify certain things because you said the government said it's all right. The government should not be your God. God should be your God. And God's not changed. So, you need to be careful what you spend your money on. You shouldn't be spending your money on street drugs, and you shouldn't be spending your money on somebody else's drug habit. And I might also say you shouldn't be spending your money on buying drugs and taking drugs that you don't need. There are people in here, you overtake your meds. You say, well, I didn't buy them on the corner. You're abusing them. It's still wrong. You'll destroy yourself that way. America's just about in a coma anyway. Okay, we've got to move on. The last point, number 11. I think we should separate our money and our funds from false Bibles. False Bibles. Go to Revelation chapter 22. And I want you to find verse number 18. Revelation chapter 22, verse 18. The faster you turn, the sooner I'll get you home. Okay? Revelation chapter 22, the Bible says in verse number 18, it says, "For I testify, and every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, from the things which are written in this book." Now, here God is making it clear we're not to tamper with the Word of God.
Yes,
you're not to be taking words from it. You're not to be adding words to it. I believe that the God promised us that the Bible says that man should live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That means for us to obey that, we have to have an every word Bible. And the Bible says that He would preserve His word for every generation. That means out there somewhere, there has to be a word of God that's every word. I believe the King James Bible is the inspired, preserved word of God. Okay, now, we do not financially yoke up with preachers or ministries that are wrong about the Word of God. I'm not going to take my money and invest it in something that is wrong about the Word of God. I'm going to separate from it. We don't financially support non-King James Bible missionaries. You say, but wonder if they're in Africa. I'm talking about their connection to an English-speaking Bible. They have to say to me, "We're King James Bible only." And I realize there are Bibles in other languages. I'm not talking about that issue right now. I'm talking about if a missionary carries anything other than the King James Bible when they're in the States and their belief is beyond the King James Bible, I just won't support them. Why? I am obligated to use God's money right. You say, "I'm for you doing that, preacher." Well, God's for you using your money right, too.
Yes, sir.
You're to use your money right, too. We don't distribute or purchase items that have other versions or verses on it. We don't give away a pencil that's got the NIV on it. And I don't think we ought to be giving our money to churches that don't believe there's a pure word of God. So, I think it is separation and our money. And I think the Bible teaches it. I could go on. I could go on till midnight and I could show you how the things that God tells you and I not to do, He would then very logically say, "By the way, you're not to do that, and you shouldn't be spending your money on that." Because it's a misuse of the money that God's given you. He said in Malachi chapter 3, he said, get back with me, get right with me financially. I just want to recommend to everybody that you practice separation in regard to your money. Most people do practice separation their own way. They practice it their own way. They want to pick what's right and what's wrong. You can be sure of it. All I'm saying is let God pick what's right and what's wrong. Just let God pick. But everybody practices separation with their money. There are things you won't spend your money on. There are things that you would be dogmatic. I would never get a penny to that. Well, there are some things that God says you should never give a penny to it. But if the Scripture said it, it's eternal. If it's something you're against, it's just your opinion. Did you know your opinion is not as valuable as God's eternal word? But I would almost guarantee you, if you wanted to debate it, yeah, I could ask you, well, would you spend money on this? And you'd say no. And I'd say, why? You'd say, I just don't like it. Well, I'm glad for you, but you better do what you do based on the Word of God.